Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The word of the living God upon which you meditate this morning is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 to 17 as follows. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. These are the words. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit, the Son of God from eternity, fellow redeemed by his life, death, and resurrection. Do you specifically and distinctly remember all of the events that have taken place since your 12th birthday? If you are not yet 12 years old, let me ask another question. Do you remember everything that's happened since your baptism? I'm going to go out on a limb and suggest that we don't remember all of the events that have taken place in the last, say, 18 years or since our baptisms. If we sat down and thought about it, we might be able to remember a few of the highlights along the way, but I would guess we wouldn't be able to put together a complete timeline of the last 18 years. So you're skeptical. You think you have a photographic memory, right? Okay. 18 years ago was the year 2001. A handful of you weren't even born yet. The rest of you were 18 years younger. What happened in 2001? Well, I remember what happened on September the 11th in 2001, and perhaps you do too. But I can't say that I remember a whole lot more of that particular year. Maybe I'm just forgetful. How about you? When Jesus of Nazareth was 12 years old, he went with Mary and Joseph to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. Afterward, he returned to Nazareth with his parents and was obedient to them. He grew up like every other child, except without sin. The Holy Spirit has told us absolutely nothing about that 18-year period. And then 18 years later, Jesus traveled from Nazareth to the Jordan River. John the Baptist had been called and sent by God to prepare the way for the coming Savior by calling the people to repentance. Those who confessed their sins were baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and God and John also comforted them by telling them that the Savior was about to appear. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Why did Jesus go to the Jordan River? He went to do the will of God. To be baptized to fill our need, not his own. He went to be anointed for and to set about doing the work of our rescue. We begin with prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of your blessings, physical and spiritual. We especially thank you for the cleansing power of holy baptism, in which we were cleansed of sin and promised eternal life. Grant that we may look back each year on the anniversary of our baptism with joy, knowing that it was then that we were adopted into the family of God. We praise your amazing grace and mercy. We ask that you continue to keep us in your grace, and enable us to glorify your name by our thoughts, our words, and our actions. We are forever grateful to be your children and heirs through faith in Christ Jesus. Grant that our faith in Jesus may be strengthened through your word, that we may live each day to the glory of your name, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. On August 2nd, 1776, the Declaration of Independence was signed at the Pennsylvania State House in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. On August the 2nd of this year, it will have been 243 years since that took place. Seems like a long time, doesn't it? When John the Baptist suddenly appeared on the scene dressed in camel's hair with a leather belt, it had been 430 years since God had called and sent a prophet to speak to his people. That's quite a long time. And as you can imagine, it caused quite a stir. And droves of people simply came out to see John the Baptist. How much of a stir, you ask? Scripture tells us, then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. While many of the people who came out to John the Baptist came to listen to the message that he had been given by God, that wasn't the case for everyone. When John said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, it caused hope in the hearts of the people. But the Pharisees and the Sadducees did not come out because of their need, or merely because they hoped that the Savior would actually arrive. They came to investigate this man dressed in camel's hair and claiming to speak from God. It may be that a few of them confessed their sins and sought to be baptized by him, but the Gospel of Luke tells us that by and large they simply rejected it. When all the people heard him, even the tax collectors justified God, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. You see, while there were some who came to John the Baptist and recognized that they were sinners in need of penitence and forgiveness, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the lawyers, were not among them. They rejected the preparation of John the Baptist. They rejected what God wanted for them, the will of God for them. And sadly, there are still people today who reject baptism and God's will for them. There are many and varied reasons why people today reject baptism. Some say, what good is water and a few words if the child doesn't know what's happening? Others claim that baptism is only effective if it's done in the way that they prescribe. The Pharisees and the Sadducees rejected God's will by refusing to be baptized. So also those today who refuse themselves to be baptized or their children to be baptized, they're doing the same thing. They're rejecting the will of God for themselves. We notice in opposition to these things that Jesus didn't do that. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. We don't have to guess why Jesus suddenly came out of Nazareth 18 years later and went to the Jordan River, because we're told simply and matter-of-factly, he came to be baptized by John. Jesus recognized as a man. That baptism was what God wanted, was according to the will of God. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. We might wonder to ourselves, why would John be reluctant to baptize Jesus? After all, he was sent by God to baptize. There were no limitations placed on baptism. Jesus came to be baptized by him. It would kind of seem a no-brainer that John should baptize Jesus. We don't know if John had ever met his cousin before that day either. But we do know that John was looking for one greater than he himself to suddenly appear. We know that's the case because earlier John had said, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who coming after me is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. We put ourselves into John's sandals. We know that he recognized he was sent by God to prepare the people for the coming Savior, but he didn't think that he would have to prepare the coming Savior. And we can understand John's hesitancy from the standpoint of need. The people of Judah needed to confess their sins. They needed forgiveness. We need to confess our sins. We need forgiveness. Jesus of Nazareth was himself without anything to confess, without sin, without need of forgiveness. Why was he baptized? Simply because it was God's will. That should be enough, right? When we hear the expression to fulfill all righteousness, we probably think of the Ten Commandments or the moral law, but baptism wasn't part of the Ten Commandments. It's part of the gospel, the good news of salvation. Moreover, when Jesus was baptized, think of it like this. He took up the office of saving sinners. When he stepped into the Jordan River alongside of John the Baptist and was baptized, he stepped among sinners and was baptized with them. Not because of his own need, but because of ours. That's why the Son of God took on human flesh and blood. He wore our sandals and he lived among sinners. And it's for this very reason that he is the perfect go-between between us and God. As a man, Jesus knows what we go through day by day. He knows our frustrations. He knows our weaknesses. But he himself is without sin. And he's also fully God, which means he can actually help in time of need. He can do more than offer comfort. Oh, I know what you're going through. He can do something about it. Now, after Jesus was baptized, not for himself, but for us, he was also anointed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon him in a special way, in the form of a dove from heaven. It was important that Jesus be anointed. So according to his human nature, he would be strengthened to complete the work set before him. It's related to us simply like this. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. As you well know, every 4 years, we as a nation elect a president. Even though the presidential election takes place in November, the newly elected president doesn't enter office until Inauguration Day, January the 20th of the following year. On Inauguration Day, the newly elected president promises, quote, to execute the office of the President of the United States to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. After Jesus was baptized, not for his own need, but for ours, he was also anointed by the Holy Spirit. Think of it like this. In eternity, God elected him to be our Savior. When the time chosen by God arrived, he entered the human race. When he was 12 years old, as a child in the temple, he knew that he was to be about the Father's business. But it was after his baptism, when he was anointed, that he took up the office of the Christ. Do you remember what that name Christ or Messiah means? It means the anointed one, the chosen one. Even though Jesus was chosen to be our Savior already in eternity, it was at his baptism that he was anointed, set aside for that special purpose. We might think of his anointing by the Holy Spirit as his inauguration day, the day he took office. This didn't only happen for Jesus' sake. It also happened for the sake of John the Baptist, and that we may be assured of his person. On the day after Jesus' baptism, John the Baptist confirmed that he saw the dove from heaven and what it meant. "This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." And you know what's even more amazing? The Holy Spirit not only equipped Jesus in his human nature to complete the work of salvation, he also equips us through the Word. We're equipped to speak that Word. We may do so with the utmost confidence because the same Jesus stands behind us and works through the gospel word which we speak. Jesus is more than a man. He's also the one and only, the unique Son of God. That's confirmed for us by the voice of God himself at his baptism, recorded for our benefit to this day. So yes, it's true, we know very little about the childhood years of Jesus of Nazareth. And that's just fine. We do know beyond all doubt that he fulfilled all righteousness. He did what was necessary to make us right with God. By faith, his perfect life is credited to our account. While we may tire of doing the right thing, he was always obedient, faithful, and true. He was committed to our salvation, and we stand righteous and secure because of him. My guilt, O Father, thou hast laid on Christ, thy Son, my Savior. Lord Jesus, thou my debt hast paid and gained for me God's favor. O Holy Ghost, thou fount of grace, the good in me to thee I trace. In faith do thou preserve me. Amen. In the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus until life everlasting.